This is Janet Frost, and I'm at the AMTE conference interviewing Beth Herbel-Eisenman. Your research focus is about classroom discourse patterns, and you've written about math learning and views of mathematicians, teacher and student roles, positioning and authority. And you've done research on teacher-researchers' observations of authority and critical colleagueship. How did your own experiences contribute to your research focus?
Much more clear to me than it probably was when I was doing it. But I would say, my dad is one of 11 children, and 9 of the 11 are all teachers, or administrators, or librarians. So I grew up in an extended family of educators, and so I grew up thinking teaching was an honorable career. And when I became a teacher, I was really surprised that parents would come into my room and talk to me like I knew nothing about what was going on. And then when I went to graduate school, reading all the stuff on the deprofessionalization of teachers. And so part of my work comes out of that, because action research stands in contrast to that view. And so whenever I work with teachers, I say to them, you cannot just sit down and let people come in and tell you about your classroom. You have to be prepared to talk back to that. And so the work that I've done with teachers in the past and the professional development materials that I've been designing, hopefully they'll be in press soon, with Michelle Cirillo and Mike Steele, have actually all included action research, because I want teachers to be able to collect their own data and talk, like have evidence of what they're doing and what kind of impact it has, rather than having people drop in for 5 minutes and then think they know what's happening in that classroom. So I would say that probably more, well, the classroom discourse also comes out of my experience, because as a classroom teacher, the only thing I knew about what we do with language is you write vocabulary words on the board and you define them, and then you just expect kids to use them, which is, again, not anything connected to what we know about how people acquire language. So when I went to grad school and started taking discourse classes, I was appalled that we don't help secondary math teachers in particular, because elementary at least have literacy backgrounds too, to like understand how kids acquire language. And they have to be talking in small groups, reporting out to the class, writing solutions up and explaining their thinking is actually how people acquire language. So so the action research comes from my sort of, this deprofessionalization of teaching needs to stop. And the other part just comes from, I feel like, my ignorance, having been a teacher and not knowing anything about how people use language to make meaning and then learn to use that language, not just make meaning with it, if that makes sense.
It does make perfect sense. What have been the most important lessons you've learned so far?
So I think probably the most important one, I guess it isn't a lesson I learned, I think I've just gotten clearer on how to do it, is to just treat people humanely that I work with. So, again, with action research, it's not us as university people coming in and telling people what to do. It's what would you like to know about your practice and how can I support you to do that? And I think that kind of relationship with teachers actually gets in places that if I just like popped in and did a 2-hour something would never happen. So that's more about my work with teachers. I don't know, in terms of my research, I feel like probably one of the things I've learned is that teachers struggle with the same things that kids do when you start to force them to engage in a way that they haven't been expected to engage. So the same sorts of things that you hear about kids being uncomfortable when you make them explore things instead of just telling them what to do, I've seen the teachers, and they notice it and talk about how, like, oh my gosh, like this is what my kids say and I'm saying to you, tell me what to do. And I'm like, but I know you're not going to tell me what to do. And they're like, yes, you're not going to tell me what to do. I can figure it out. And I'm like, I know you can figure it out. You just need the support to figure it out. So there's this like sort of interesting parallel between when we engage kids in different ways in math classrooms and when we engage teachers with different kinds of professional development, that they actually can figure it out, but they need support to do it.
What do you anticipate as your future direction in your research?
So I've been fortunate to start a collaboration with a group of people, and we got funding to do a new project, and it's working with Vicki Hand and Mary Foote and Anita Wager, Courtney Kessler, Tanya Bartel, Joel Amadon, Greg Larnell, Carlos Lopez-Lieva. I'm missing one person. That's not good. So we're starting a new grant that is actually one of the things we're trying to do is set up and study what we're calling an equitable system. So it isn't just teachers need to treat, like engage in equitable practices in their classrooms, but math teacher educators also need to do that with teachers. And then, so the PD materials that I was talking about a couple minutes ago, we're actually creating augmented activities that can go into those PD materials for people who really want to seriously think about equity in their work. So it isn't just classroom discourse, it's focusing on how classroom discourse actually perpetuates some of the kinds of marginalization that happens in society. So issues like race, class, gender, and how that can play out in as a microcosm in the classroom. So we've got a PD that we're working on designing, and we've got people who are going to focus on studying sort of the students. We've got a group of people who are focusing on studying the teachers, and a group of people who are focusing on studying us as math teacher educators and what we learn in this project over time. So it'll be a two-week teacher institute that does some of the PD that I've been designing, but with these kind of beefing up the equity aspect of it, and then having the teachers engage in action research for a year. So that part will be consistent. But then we're going to host a dissemination conference and invite administrators and families and students and people to come in and see what the teachers are learning, hoping that we can identify stakeholders who might become allies. So they're invested and they want to help so that the next year we actually move into participatory action research. So there will be more people than just the teachers and us doing the action research. It'll be students involved, parents, hopefully. And then the final year of the project, the people who have been invested over time will become consultants to us and help us think about, like, how would we get the most sort of bang for our buck in the sense of, like, what do you most think teachers would want to know about this? How about administrators? And then have them help us think about how to disseminate the work very broadly and maybe in ways that we haven't even thought of before. So that's the new one, and it's a little different. Instead of just thinking about the deprofessionalization of teachers and treating teachers equitably, it's thinking much more broadly, and it's expanding out into sort of systems of privilege and oppression and how that makes its way into math classrooms and impacts kids and teachers in systems.
Which of your publications would you recommend to someone new to your work?
So probably the edited book that the teachers, I worked with with teachers in Iowa for 5 years before I moved to Michigan State, and they each wrote a chapter, and we edited a book. So the beginning part sort of explains a little bit about my stance on teacher education and a bigger picture of what that project was like. And then each teacher wrote a chapter, and then we have two kind of concluding chapters. And it's written for a general audience, so it's not like the reason I sort of, when you asked that question, I was like, oh no, what am I going to say? Is because some of it is so like the discourse stuff is so technical that I find it less accessible if people haven't been reading stuff in discourse, because the terminology, just like anything that we study, there's like a specific terminology that sometimes makes it less accessible. But that book is accessible, and it highlights teachers' voices in ways that I think we don't always do. So that would probably, it's called Promoting Purposeful Discourse, and it was published by NCTM in like 2009 or something like that.
You received the AMTE Early Career Award for your very productive publication record. What suggestions do you have for those who are new to research and publishing so they can be as productive as possible?
probably to go to conferences, because most of my productivity is because of the people that I've met. Like PMENA working groups, meeting people and starting to talk about common interests in curriculum that resulted in the edited book with Janine Remillard and Gwen Lloyd, and then meeting Dave Wagner at PMENA and the Canadian Method Study Group, and then we've done a line of work together. Like, I feel like we don't have to be, it's, technology has made it so we don't have to be the sole person anymore, no matter where we go to work. But being at conferences and meeting people who think similarly and have similar interests and are invested in the same kind of thing is actually probably the thing that's helped me be the most productive, because I need people to talk about ideas and sort of work things out. And conferences have been the place that I've met people to do that with. Not that I haven't had great colleagues in places that I've worked, but it's been, I would say, starting early out, that and probably start reviewing on NSF panels, because you start to learn what reviewers pay attention to, and then you get better at writing grants, which supports the work that we want to do, right? And it's, even though it's really competitive, if you're not reviewing grants, it's hard to understand like all the sort of the nuances in what people pay attention to, and then making sure you address those things when you're writing a grant. So those would probably be the two most important things, I think.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated your taking the time to talk with us.
You're welcome.